Talking to my bro, who's never seen the show, wondering how it's gonna go. Orange County in the past is explored in this podcast. It's the Bro Scene.
Welcome to the Bro C, bitch, a Latchkey Sips miniseries where I, Holland Baker, make my little brother, Gray, watch one of my most beloved TV shows from the early 2000s for the very first time. And today, we are diving into it. It's our first episode discussion. We're talking about season one, episodes 1 through 14, the first half of season one, and I'm ready to get into it. Hello, Gray.
Hello, Holland, and hello, listeners.
Hello, everybody.
I am so excited.
Hello, noobsies.
To get this podcast going.
Hell yeah.
Hello, noobsies. Hello, Harbor class of 04 or 05, whenever they're supposed to be graduating.
I think they graduate in 06.
Jesus Christ. So they're...
They're sophomores.
20-year-olds playing 16-year-old freshmen.
I think they're playing sophomores.
Okay.
But they're retcon.
Oh, I guess you're right, because it's summer before when it starts. So okay. Gotcha.
But yeah, so Gray miraculously watched 14 episodes in very close proximity to his wedding, which again, congratulations to Gray and Meg, the betrothed couple officially.
Thank you. Hold for applause.
But yes, before we started recording, we were talking about how it's amazing that Gray managed to watch 14 episodes of television within like the week before his wedding and the week after his wedding.
Yeah, I mean, definitely the brunt of it was done before. And then the honeymoon happened, and then it was just, like, kind of last weekend, and then a little bit of, like, the weekday that I just busted it out. But, dude, I couldn't get enough. I mean, what's funny is I mean, I was excited to start this, like, for sure. But, like, episode one, I was just like, oh, boy, like... This is going to be a ride. It's going to be an experience. And then, you know, a couple episodes later, I was just like, oh my God, okay, it's starting to get a little repetitive. Like, I don't know how much I can go through. And then by like episode five, I was just like fully in, like completely sucked into it and was like, this is the greatest thing ever. And what's funny is Meg didn't start watching it until last week, and she's already caught up, just to say that.
Perfect.
But she was kind of similar, where she was just like, oh, I'm just putting it on the background while I do work, like while I edit my galleries. And the first couple episodes, she was like, this show is like bad, Gray, like this is like pretty rough. And I was like, just wait. And she was like, I don't know, like she's like, it's like a toothache, like, you know, I'm like a kid with a sore tooth. I hate it, but I can't stop poking at it. I can't stop watching it. And I'm like, I know. And then by yesterday or the day before, she was like, can we watch OC? Can we watch OC? And then today is when she was like, hey, can you make sure to record with Holland like tomorrow so we can keep watching? Because I don't want to wait to watch episode 15. Like, I want to do it. I'm like, yeah, I'll text her right now. And that's when I texted you and was like, can we do it tomorrow? And you were like, I can't do tomorrow. What about Thursday? I'm like, I can't do Thursday. You're like, what about Wednesday? I'm like, I can't do Wednesday. And you're like, today? I'm like, we can do that. Yes, let's do it.
Today's even better than tomorrow. Yeah,
Meg is stoked. She's like, that means we can watch it tonight when you're done.
Yeah.
Like, I'm gonna get done with this, make dinner, sit on the couch and watch it with Meg. Watch episode 15.
So you're going to probably watch episode 15 before I am, because it's 3 hours later here, yes. And I'm probably going to go to bed after.
Yeah, it's 9:30 so right now.
I love it. Yeah, as soon as we finished recording the first episode, I proceeded to watch the entire first 14 episodes in one day. So
wow.
I wasn't planning on doing that, but it was like a Saturday. It was rainy. We recorded pretty early mm-hmm. in the morning, I believe.
We recorded really early for me, at least. It was like 7 a.m.
Yeah, so it was only like I was probably done before noon, and I was just like I was literally doing laundry and like cleaning I was just like doing chores while I had it on because I've seen it a million times, and then just continued to watch it into the evening and finished. And I was like, well, damn, I finished it all in one day. And now I have to fucking wait for Gray. But oh well. Also, Gray has been sending me his live thoughts via text while he watches the episode.
I definitely dropped off after a while because I just got committed. And I'm like, there's no phones while I watch this.
I love that. Yeah, because it started out with like baby Ryan's friggin' choker. He's so cute and baby in the pilot. I love watching the pilot.
Oh my God, they got rid of his choker by the end of...
I know. So I actually was going to start doing a choker count and a tank top count, formerly known as a wife beater.
A wife respecter count?
Yeah. And then I fell off of doing that because I was like, I don't have time for that because he's always wearing both of them, at least in the first few episodes.
Yeah. And then, yeah, but by the end, at least by episode 14, they're like, they've gotten meta enough to where they mention the wife beaters all the time, but he stops wearing them by the time they start making fun of it. So then he's just going t-shirts and then a collared shirt unbuttoned over it, but no more choker, no more wife respecter, but still the leather bracelet. The 2-inch thick leather bracelet.
He's really, it's like for a poor kid from Chino who doesn't have a lot going on. He's really got his accessories down from the very beginning.
Yeah,
he's
think
wearing that choker in the pilot when he's stealing the car.
Here's the thing.
I'm pretty
sure.
It's
a piece of string. It's not really a choker. It is like cord. And then I just think it's funny that you can tell he's obviously wearing like a nice pair of jeans and a nice like basically dress shirt, but they're like, no, he's poor, so he doesn't wear patterns.
Yeah, and he has an expensive haircut.
Yes, he has
like,
a very
in the
expensive
beginning
haircut.
You can tell it's like swishy and like very styled, and you're like, this like 15-year-old would not be doing this much, but we love it. No 15-year-old has a stylish expensive haircut.
No.
Like, I'm sorry.
No 15-year-old has good hair.
We're still figuring that out at 15. I was still brushing my wavy hair at 15. It was a mess.
Yeah, I was pushing my curly hair forward to try to give myself bangs, even though my hair didn't fall and it would just go out and up.
You had like a duck bill?
I was like basically trying to have like Bieber hair, but it just like curled around. So I just had like, it almost looked like the gutters of an army helmet. It just kind of like all around my head just went like out.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a look at the time.
Yeah, but
anyway,
that when you did it intentionally. But mine was like, I was trying to do a different thing and it kind of backdoored back to that style.
Before we super get into plot discussion.
Yes, please. What is the structure of this show?
Let's cut the bagel. That Allegra suggested that be our starting line. I don't know how much bagel exposure we've actually had yet, but there will be more. And we're going to get into our first section or segment.
Do bagels become a thing?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Sandy's from New York City. Hello. And he's Jewish. Like, bagels become a thing. Spoiler alert. It's not really a spoiler, but. So first segment, I'm very basically calling it Previously on the OC. I'm going to catch the listeners up with some plot summaries that are grouped by relationships, just because that's what we care about.
Absolutely.
On this show. Just in case you don't want to watch 14 episodes of a TV show to listen to this ep. I'm going to try to help us out here. So, to begin, our first triangle is Ryan, Marissa, and Luke. So, Ryan Atwood is a juvenile delinquent from Chino who ends up being fostered by his public defender, Sandy Cohen, in Newport Beach after he gets in trouble for stealing a car with his brother, only to have his mom run out on him. He is the classic fish out of water thrust into the affluent Newport Beach community. He makes fast friends with his foster brother, Seth, who is a nerdy, emo outcast at school who doesn't fit in with the popular water polo players.
Is he considered and the gorgeous emo? Girls.
We'll get there.
Okay.
Yeah, he is. For 2003, it's like that indie emo side of things. It's like mostly based on his music taste.
Okay.
I think it's like pre MySpace emo, if that makes sense.
Okay.
So Seth does not fit in with the popular water polo players and the gorgeous girls who run in their circle. Marissa Cooper, one of those beautiful girls, lives next door to the Cohens and starts the season off as the girlfriend to head water polo douche Luke Ward. On Ryan's first night in Newport, he and Marissa share a kismet meeting in front of their houses, and the chemistry is immediate. Throughout the first half of the season, we witness a will-they-won't-they dynamic between Ryan and Marissa as she is caught between her longtime boyfriend Luke and the new bad boy in town. Once Marissa catches Luke cheating on her and she overdoses in an alley in Tijuana, she is pretty decidedly done with Luke and firmly moves on to Ryan after some half-hearted recovery from the potential suicide attempt. However, she does start going to therapy where she meets Oliver, who might be able to understand the darker sides of her personality. So that's that triangle. Second is Seth, Summer, and Anna.
This is what Seth I'm here for.
I love it. I love all your opinions that you've been sending me. Seth is stoked when Ryan moves to town because he finally has a friend who gets him in a town that does not. Not only is he an outcast at school for liking comic books, emo music, and sailing, but he also has been pining after Summer Roberts, Marissa's best friend, since they were children. Bad news is that she doesn't know he exists until Ryan comes into town. However, new girl Anna arrives just in time to give Cohen a little confidence and lets him see that his unrequited love for Summer might not be his only romantic option. However, Seth's attention from Anna starts to make Summer jealous, and the three are soon thrown into a full-blown love triangle. Seth fumbles the bag hard and ends up losing both of them after some grand gestures were made at Chrismica, although on New Year's, one of those flames may have reignited. And then finally, we have the parents, who play a pretty big role in this show. Sandy Cohen is a public defender from the Bronx who is married to real estate heiress and Newport Beach native Kirsten Cohen, nay Nickel. They met and fell in love at Berkeley, and now they live in Newport Beach, where Kirsten works with her real estate tycoon father, Caleb, while Sandy continues to fight for the little guy and antagonize Caleb until he decides to accept a job at a big-time law firm a few episodes in.
But still continues to antagonize Caleb.
Exactly. Forever and always. They live next door to Kirsten's high school sweetheart turned best friend, Jimmy Cooper, and his wife, Julie, parents of Marissa and Caitlin. We quickly learn that Jimmy is not doing well financially and has lost his clients a lot of money with his shady business practices. After getting punched out at his daughter's cotillion, Julie promptly files for divorce and starts pursuing Caleb to ensure a steady financial future. So that's a pretty Cliff Notes version of where we're at. But we can get into the minutiae in a sec. But do you want to talk? Let's, before we get into that, go to our next segment, which is Welcome to the OC, bitch. First impressions.
Okay.
So I just want to get here. Let me pull my keyboard out. I just want to get Gray's initial first impressions, like quick, like one sentence impressions of all of our characters. I'm going to run down a list. I'm going to type it into our Google Doc.
Okay.
I just want to know your, actually, I don't need to type it. This is a fucking podcast. Okay. Ryan Atwood.
Stiff.
Are we doing one word?
Is that what you said? One sentence?
I said you could go up to a sentence.
Okay. Stiff, broody, doesn't do humor well. Like, I just don't think he pulls it off well.
Okay.
And also, like, yeah, no, I guess if it's first impressions, we can get into the finer things, but there.
Okay. Sandy Cohen.
Bay.
The eyebrows.
I mean, he seems to be the, like, all-time, like, moral compass of the show. You know? And just, he's just my favorite character, I think.
Him, okay, love it.
He and Seth both.
Okay, Seth Cohen is next on my list.
Seth Cohen, also Bay, you know, does humor well and is just so charming.
Yep, he gets himself in trouble for a reason, that silver tongue of his.
Yeah.
Kirsten Cohen.
Does well with Sandy, but I feel like the show doesn't know what to do with her yet all that much, so she's just kind of there a lot.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But, you know, if we're talking first impressions, and first impressions are the first 14 episodes, which is weird for me to say because it's like, I feel like I've gotten to know them pretty well so far, because I've watched, like, over 10 hours of them. it's that I feel like she's starting to kind of pick it up because the first, like, half of the season, like, all they knew what to do with her was, like, Jimmy Cooper still loves you and Julie Cooper's a bitch to you. And now they're finally starting to give her a little bit more, like,
I feel like once agency, they bring in Caleb.
They bring in Caleb.
She has more
and
to do.
Also now her sister.
Yes, Haley.
So I'm like, I'm hopeful for Kirsten. But as of right now, it's like, she's fine. I don't dislike her, but it's just like, they need to be able to bring her into, like, the kids' lives as well as they have with Sandy.
Agree. Marissa Cooper.
Ugh. Fucking so frustrating.
Yeah.
And also, I think one of the weaker actors on the cast.
Yeah.
You know, just like, honestly, plays a 16-year-old super well.
Because she probably is.
Because she was 17. maybe even 16 during filming. But, like, just so frustrating with her poor decision-making. And, like, just, like, lash-outing-ness. Just short-sightedness all around. It's just, like, so frustrating. And just, like, kind of annoying whenever she's on screen.
Okay. Jimmy Cooper.
I hate his teeth. And also, it's kind of like, I feel like they're really, like, the writers really want me to, like, root for him and feel sorry for him. But they don't give him enough redeeming qualities for me to care. It's like, it's not that I don't root for him and I don't like him. It's that I don't care about him anytime he's on screen, unless it's interacting with Sandy. And it's just because Sandy's also in the scene.
Right. Yeah, I feel like in season one especially, we have a case of, like, we have too many characters.
Yes, we have
too many characters.
They still need to establish so much with, like, the core six, I guess seven if you count Anna at this point, but I'm gonna say six, the core six, that, like, there's too many other people to, like, really give them any depth. So I can understand, like, they're keeping them around, and, like, once they kind of set the world a little bit better, they'll be able to go into more detail with Jimmy and, like, Kirsten. And I'm sure, I have such a strong feeling that, like, by season three, Caitlin is gonna have a much bigger role in the show, albeit I doubt it's Shailene Woodley anymore. Which, shout out to Meg. She pointed it out, like,
she clocked out immediately.
Three, She was like, baby Shailene Woodley. And I was like, oh my God, it does look like her. And he's like, she said, isn't that her?
Yes.
And then I looked it up and I'm like, holy shit. Oh my God. Wow. Yeah. I thought, I didn't realize how, like, the timing worked out of how young she was back then. I thought she would be like 15 or 16 back then. So yeah, that's on me. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like that's going to also develop. And I'm pretty sure I, for some reason, remember, like, Trey definitely makes a reappearance in later seasons. But anyways, Jimmy Cooper,
Julie
hate
Cooper.
His teeth, fucking boring.
Okay. What about Julie?
So fucking obnoxious and, like, such a wild caricature of, like, what they're trying to pull off. Like what they're trying to make her is, like, kind of like, you know, the evil witch stepmother kind of vibe, even though it's her real mom. But then she just takes it to a fucking 11. And it's like...
She's good TV.
It's good TV. Yeah, but I'm like, she's just... Yeah, she's really fucking going for it. And I hate her, which I guess is, like, you know, props to the actress. Even though I hate the actress's face, I just don't like her eyeshadow. And I hate her bangs. And I hate her hair coloring.
She has a lot of bad hair cuts on this show. But yeah, we'll get into that as we come. Luke Ward
kind of got fucked over.
In what way?
Well, okay. Definitely.
I just want you to elaborate.
Yes, yes. I mean, he's an insecure 16-year-old boy. And his girlfriend definitely was, like, very clearly having eyes for another dude who was, like, not really, who was pretty shameless about it. Like, if we take, like, Luke's perspective, you know, like, sure, he was kind of immediately, like, a dick to Ryan. But also, it's, like, his girlfriend is, like, totally flirting with this guy and, like, leading him on and, like, always running to him whenever they have relationship issues. And... you know, he has his flaws. I'm not saying he's, like, he's the real protagonist of this show. Like, no, he's still a fucking, like, you know, there's a reason he's kind of unlikable. But, like, he got a bad rap. As soon as Ryan, like, saved his fucking life, he was super nice to him and was like, you know, I get it. I, you know, like, kind of apologetic in his behavior. Was nicer to Seth afterward. And would only ever really lashed out when, like, deep family trauma came about and he was really guarded and then again apologized after that too.
Yeah, I mean, he was really nice even after, like, Ryan and Marissa got together. Mm-hmm. Like, he, like, fucking tackled him on a soccer field, and then when they had to, like, work on a project together, he was still like, all right, you can come over to my house. Like, he was still so nice to him at his house. Like, mm-hmm. really, like, nicer than he probably needed.
Yeah, he was cordial.
I do like Luke.
I think Luke, so far in the first 14 episodes, which is funny to say, has had the most character growth.
Yeah, he has. Yeah. just you wait. Summer Roberts.
The worst. I mean, almost as bad as Julie Cooper.
She starts off real bad.
No redeemable qualities. Other than, like, oh my God, you read? Bleh.
I will say, Summer wasn't supposed to be a main cast member when they initially, like, wrote the pilot. But they liked Rachel Bilson so much that they just, like, kept giving her more to do. And then she, like, I think you can tell over the first 14 episodes, she starts to develop a little bit more into a more dimensional character. And, like, she will continue to, like, they'll continue to kind of, like, retcon her into a much nicer person than she started out being
at the beginning of the season. I guess. But as of right now, fuck Summer. Go Anna. She's adorable. She's nice. She's way more personable and, like, enjoyable to watch on screen. Yeah. If that's the next
Anna
one.
Anna is next on my list.
Yeah. Then there you go. Adorable.
Right.
quirky.
Any thoughts on Rachel?
No.
Hoff. Okay. That's fine.
Other than like fucking take a hint.
Why? Yeah. Caleb.
He kind of looks like Chuck's law partner from Better Call Saul, but without hair and older.
I don't know who that is.
Did you ever watch Better Call Saul?
No.
Oh. Well, then, listeners, Howard Hamlin. He looks like an older Howard Hamlin and kind of talks like him, too. Caleb is, like, I guess he's playing the part, you know? But, like he's doing, it's just, like, kind of a prick. I don't know. Yeah. Don't really have much about him. It's like, he's a prick. What do you know? And, like... Mm-hmm. I am totally on Sandy's side of like, yeah, fuck this guy.
Haley, I know you've only gotten like one episode with her, but
very punchable face. She's like pretty face, but like just the way she uses her face acting, I hate it.
Okay.
Punchable.
Oliver.
Even Oliver's more punchable. The last one. Oh my god! Yeah, wearing a fucking scarf in Newport Beach.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, it was the era of
useless scarves, but...
Yeah, okay, whatever. Hate him. And also, like, yeah. Definitely on some compulsive lying bullshit. I know that.
All right. Actually, so let's dive in to just
general discussion.
I have a question I just wanted to ask, which can maybe jump us off. But what episode was the one that, like, turned it over for you from it being like, oh, I don't know about this, to you being like, oh, I'm on board? Like, what was, like, the moment?
Let me look through the episodes, just the titles real quick, and I'll let you know. I think it might have been the Cotillion episode.
Ah, yes. When Jimmy gets punched out at the Cotillion for stealing people's money and losing it.
Yeah, I think that might have been the one where I was like, I need to keep watching this forever. Mm-hmm.
That's when the stake, and that's when Anna comes in. Mm-hmm. Seth kind of like develops.
And then also TJ. Definitely like, that's like a couple, that's like three episodes later.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. TJ is like the true, I think, turning point. I think the show, like, when they go to Tijuana, that's when you're like, oh, this is what this show is. It's dramatic as hell.
Yeah. It's a soap opera for sure.
Oh, 100%. And I love it.
It's a teen soap. It's so much fun to watch. Baby Seth. Seth is such, I love him. I love him so much. He says so many hilarious things. The most recent one I watched, obviously, was New Year's, but I also watched it again last night with Meg. And when Haley was like, what are you guys doing here? And they're like, we told you, we're staying in, playing video games. Carson Daly. She was like, I thought you were being sarcastic. And he was like, that's typically correct of you, or like something like that. Like, I love it. I love his... Captain Oates, I think.
Yes, Captain Oates.
Captain Oates. Sandy, the only issue that Sandy has posed is that he keeps calling Seth's love interest hot.
Yeah, I don't enjoy that.
Don't enjoy
it. She's hot stuff, son.
Yeah. Like.
And yeah, I don't know. Do we want to get into the pedophilia of it all?
Yes. Okay. What I think is so funny.
Okay, the episode, The Girlfriend, does not age well.
Is that the one where it's all happening?
Caleb brings his girlfriend, his like 23-year-old girlfriend by or something. And these kids are supposed to be like 15 or 16.
Mm-hmm.
And she fully like has a mini affair with Ryan while... she's there,
and she even says it's because she's bored.
Yeah.
and what I think is so funny is that so she's supposed to be 24 and Ryan is 16, and then in real life Ben McKenzie is 25 and Misha Bardem is 17. I'm like,
yeah,
it's the same thing that is happening. Except, you know, probably during filming, it was 24 and 16. I'm like, they literally are living it in reverse. Like, oh my God, it was crazy.
I know. Back in the day where they're like, yeah, teenagers, they can just make out with these men if they have their parents sign off
on it. Dude, Ryan has so much makeup on his face at all times to make him look younger. It's like
to make him look younger.
Caked on.
I love him, though. I will say, I've always been a Ryan girly.
I
was a Ryan girly then. I'm a Ryan girly now.
I mean, okay, so here's the thing. I'm like hot and cold on him. It's like, it's not that I don't like him. It's just that he's so one-dimensional. Like, it's just hard. Like, I can tell that by, like, mid-season, they're trying to give him more personality than what he started out with. But he's just not doing a great job with it. And it's like, you know, he's also supposed to kind of be the, like, moral compass. But I'm like, dude, you have, like, the temper of a, like, cat.
He's troubled, Gray. But no, I said he's troubled, Gray.
Yeah, and it's just, I don't know, like, he also can, like, sometimes just really have a punchable face.
You've been saying that a lot this episode.
It's true. I don't know. It's like not always, but sometimes.
I think looking back at the first, if you had to choose, do you have a favorite episode? Because I definitely have one of these first 14. That I think there's an episode in these first 14 episodes that I think is like what, like a near perfect OC episode where you kind of get everything that you want out of it. And I think it's the kickoff carnival episode, The Heights.
We got both
love triangles at play. We have like Ryan and Marissa are like maybe kind of starting to maybe get together, but Luke is still kind of in the picture, and there's like a misunderstanding where Ryan hears something, like sees Luke crying in the hallway, and Seth is like, he was crying. But then it all like comes together and they have their first kiss on the Ferris wheel, and it's like such an iconic moment. It's so cute. I thought that was a great scene. And then Meanwhile we have the whole like Anna is helping Seth make Summer jealous, but she actually also likes Seth, and they kiss, but then it's like, oh, that was all part of the plan, right? It's like setting the seeds for like
to become a thing. I think you're right. I think that is like the best episode so far. I really don't like the episode before it, the rescue. I hated that episode.
Yeah.
And like, I also just Marissa's don't really hospital. Like the whole, like, I think I really don't like the, what I think is going to be a through line for the rest of the show, which is the like, drug addict, psychologically tortured Marissa. I feel like her path to treatment is so much easier than she's making it. And I'm like, it's just like, it's one of those where you're frustrating. It's like, no, just do this. Just, it's not like misfortunes. It's like she's self-destructing. And I think that's, those types of, like, storylines in any show is always the hardest for me to watch. It's the most like frustrating where I'm like, I'm not enjoying watching this.
I
struggle and then overcome and then struggle and overcome, but not like self like implode. I hate that. I don't know. I just like in all types of media. Like, I can think of movies where it's, like, that's kind of the whole thing, where it's, like, such an obvious, like, correct answer, and then the person, like, makes the wrong, like...
Yeah, I totally get that. I wish I could say that this was the last time that was going to happen, but I would be lying
to
you.
No. And, like, here's the thing. I know Marissa's, like, final fate of this show.
Yeah.
How it all goes down. Well, I, not how, but I know what goes down.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, yeah, what do you know?
It's about the journey, baby.
It's about the journey. I know, I know. But honestly, I'm at this point, I'm like, Ryan, she's dragging you down. I'm like, you are better than her. Like, you don't need her. You can't fix her. You got to move on for your own good, man.
I'm excited to get into the next half of the season.
I know. I'm like, let Oliver have her, dude.
Hot takes. Let Oliver have her.
Let Oliver have her. In summer, let Seth go until you decide to be a better person.
So, I know you texted me something about, like, oh, I do enjoy how the parents are so involved in, like, the actual, and, like, make a difference in the plot of the show.
I like the way they, how the writers incorporate them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're actually essential to the, like, core four teams, like, plot, and it's not just kind of like a side thing. Like, obviously there are, like, they do have their own kind of storyline, but a lot, it's not just like parent B plot. Like, it does match up pretty well to, like, where's Ryan going to end up, or now it's like, you know, what's gonna happen with Marissa, or, you know, like things like that, where it actually kind of does tie them together to where them being in the same room does make a lot more sense, other than just like, I'm your parent, I'm gonna do this, okay, and now I like might be cheating on your mother with my hot coworker, even though that never happened. I'm just saying. Yeah,
no, yeah, yeah. And I appreciate that the parents are so present, because I feel like on a lot of other teen shows, like, they're like nowhere to be seen, and like kids are just running wild and like doing all these crazy things, and they're still doing that on this show, but they still at least have parents trying to hold them accountable, and like, and they get in trouble, and there are actually consequences to their actions.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that, like, at least minute level of realism that the show has when dealing, like, with the teenage cast, because I feel like otherwise it's like, again, I feel like we might compare this a lot to One Tree Hill, but in One Tree Hill, like, there's only like one parent who is around, basically. Everyone else's parents, like, you like barely ever even see them. So I guess before we move on to the next segment, maybe I can rapid fire some of the big moments from the first half of the season, and we can just make sure that we cover everything before I get into the next segment, which is about your predictions from the last episode.
Beautiful. Yes. I'm also excited to hear about my predictions, because, like, I don't remember what I said, and I know that, well, at least during, like, episode, like, the first couple episodes, I was like, well, I got that wrong. Well, I got that wrong.
Lucky for you, we're going to listen to them. So, oh, I'm going to play great. Them for you. So I guess starting off with the pilot, Ryan steals a car with his brother. And by the end of the episode, he's getting into a fight, punched in the face by Luke. Welcome to the OC, bitch. I guess, like, how, like, what did the pilot make an impression? Do you think it was a good pilot?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, it made me immediately, like, rooting for the Coens and Seth and Ryan. It definitely intrigued me to the initial, like, love triangle with Ryan, Luke, and Marissa.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, yeah, I mean, I was just like, oh, my God, this is ridiculous. Like, I can't wait to watch. I can't wait to see what else happens.
Perfect. Episode 2, the model home catches on fire.
Oh my God. I can't believe that was only episode 2. Like,
I know.
It's such a giant thing to happen. And it's like,
I didn't remember that being episode 2. Yeah, I thought that happened like 3 or 4.
I can't believe there were so many felonies committed in the first couple episodes that are just brushed under the rug.
Ryan's like in and out of juvie, like the first couple episodes.
I'm like, Kirsten, you kind of have a point when you were like skeptical at first.
I also forgot how many episodes it dragged on that like they weren't sure whether.
Yeah, it was like, I think like, at least three episodes. Ryan.
Yeah, I think it was after an
episode. Oh yeah, because episode four is when. No. Episode three.
I think like it starts with him in juvie, and Kirsten's like, "I could have let him stay in there because he had just gotten arrested for the model home thing."
Wait, when does the mom come?
That's episode three.
That is episode three. Okay, so yeah.
Yeah.
Episode three isn't until they're like, "This is where you are staying." So yeah, it takes three episodes.
Yeah, because they finally find his mom. So I guess by episode four, they're like, you're here for good. Because we saw your mom and she, like, left. She left you with us.
Right. Yeah.
But, yeah, any other thoughts on the model home fire?
Yeah, there's no way you would just keep fighting when a fire is, like, starting like that. Like, it would immediately call your attention away and that wouldn't happen.
You also texted that to me. But hey, first inkling that Luke isn't all bad. He saves Ryan from the fire, which like, thank God that he would do that.
Yeah, like you're not trying to commit homicide. I
mean, Cotillion, that was a pretty good up too. I guess like the Jimmy getting punched out.
Dude, Julie Cooper, such a heartless bitch about the whole situation with her husband.
Oh, 100%.
Obviously, she does have a point where she's like, this is your mistake. Like, you never came to me about, like, these money issues. So, how, like, she shouldn't feel, like, to Julie's point, or I guess her defense with, like, Kirsten's whole, like, up in arms thing was, like, he was doing it for you. Like, you know, he wasn't buying horses for himself. And it's like, okay, but he could have talked to her sooner. About like money issues before he started
like,
stealing.
I don't want to talk about it.
Oh yeah, but totally. Yeah, but should, like, if it was really a problem, if it was just like, I don't want to talk about it, and he's like, okay, I'll steal from my clients then. Like,
yeah, exactly.
No, if
they're
it was really a financial issue,
both in the wrong.
He should have brought it up. But she still had zero sympathy for her husband, which is just like, fuck you.
Mm-hmm. How about when Steph and Salvatore brought a gun to the beach party?
Yeah, dude, what a fucking, like, total overreaction.
I don't know if you ever watched Vampire Diaries, but...
No, I have no idea what that reference was, but just, like, such a crazy thing to do. And also, like...
I know.
He's like, yeah, dude, like, where is he supposed to be from again?
Corona.
Yeah, Corona, which, like, that's, I'm pretty sure... is more like hillbilly, not hillbilly, but just kind of like hick town, like more so than like kind of ghetto, which is how he was playing it off. Is like, yeah, we run with a pretty tough crowd where it's like.
Yeah, I'm wondering if the writers just looked at a map and they're like, that's close to Chino.
Yeah, right. Here, let me look at, not Choney, Chino, California.
Map. We talked about the pedophile girlfriend.
I guess, like, on to be fair, I guess, like, Rancho Cucamonga is kind of too funny of a word.
Yeah, that's not, like, you're not a tough guy coming from Rancho Cucamonga.
Rancho Cucamonga. Also, it's not, like, that close to Chino, like, but they could have said Pomona. Pomona is right next to Chino, and that is a much more, like, not a great area.
Edgy.
Or, like...
I
mean, I guess Julie Cooper's from Riverside, but they could have said Riverside.
Tijuana. We kind of glossed over Tijuana.
Dude, Tijuana, great episode.
Good ep.
Good ep. I love the whole running gag of like Summer and Seth are like an old married couple by the end of it. This was before, like, Anna was like introduced and then like left. And so she was gone for like... three episodes.
Yeah, she's like, I'm sailing.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. So I was just like, okay, like, I guess this is how they're gonna do it with Summer. But they stunted her development after this episode for a while.
Yeah.
They didn't give, like, yeah, I feel
like this episode, you see the seeds yes. of, like, who Summer becomes.
And to me, I feel like they rushed the whole, like, love triangle thing because they didn't give her enough to really, like, hang her hat on when it became, like, who should it be between Summer and Anna? Like, there wasn't enough, like, that's why I'm like, fuck Summer. Like, she hardly has any redeemable qualities to, like, be right for Seth. Other than, like, there's one book that he's like, oh, my God, you read that book? And I love and the quote.
And just the fact that he's been obsessed with
her. Yes, and the fact that, like, he's been obsessed with her. But I do love her quote when she goes, she's talking about Death Cab for Cutie. And it was, it's like one guitar and a whole lot of complaining. And I'm like, that's exactly what it is. And that is brilliant.
Yeah.
So I loved and that.
The overdose.
The overdose, yeah, was just like, what the fuck, Marissa? Like, where did that even come from? Of just like, I'm going to take those pills. Like, no, just drink. I don't know. So dumb.
Yeah, planting the seeds of the self-destructive tendencies. We kind of talked about the rescue episode.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Not the
also,
best.
Also, again, just like Julie Cooper is a fucking psychopath.
I think this is also where we kind of set up Ryan's savior complex too, where he's like, I'm gonna leave my test to get into school to save Marissa from her mom or whatever, and you're like, you're 15 you can hang out for a second.
Oh my God, I know. And again, Ryan, you can't fix her, you don't need her.
We talked about The Heights, probably the best ep
so far. What happens in The Perfect Couple? Like, which...
I know, I'm looking at it right now, and I'm like, oh, this is the boat.
Oh, it is?
This is the boat where we find out...
Oh, okay. This one. Hey, Marissa, like, neither of your parents have given you any indication that they're getting back together. Like...
No.
But you totally just projected that onto them, and so when you find out that your mom, who, like, has been... no, like, saint of a wife this entire season is with another man, you, like, freak the fuck out. And it's like, okay, that's on you.
Yeah, she definitely got her hopes up over zero evidence.
Yeah, and, like, Jimmy was like...
Jimmy kind of did, too.
He didn't really care. I mean, he was kind of like, oh, yeah, maybe. But wasn't, like, really trying that hard to, like, win her back anymore at that point.
And then, oh, Thanksgiving, we go back to Chino and have to steal another car for Trey to pay off some, like, prison debts or to
I know, that was
make sure he doesn't
so
get beat up
stupid.
In prison.
And it was also, like, that one girl who was like, yeah, we were great together.
Teresa.
And it's like, dude, that's not Marissa's fault or her problem, you know? Like,
no. He just left. And she's like, I... met him after that.
He just left, and she's like, didn't this place send him to jail? Like, didn't being here, like, can't you understand that maybe it wasn't good for him to be here?
And then this is also when Seth is juggling.
Yes,
Anna,
which is just like
Summer
again,
at the house.
such poor decision making, and also I get it. To be like 15 or 16 and have that opportunity, like, yeah, you're not thinking with your brain.
No, you barely have a brain. It's not developed at all yet.
No.
But like, oh, and then Luke's gay dad. That's episode 12.
Luke's gay dad. Yeah. That's the only
honestly,
part of that episode I remember.
Honestly, surprisingly aged okay. I'm
yeah.
pretty sure. Yeah.
I mean, that Chris nothing McCull. Really happens for that. Like, that was kind of a nothing episode.
It was, I think it was also like, Luke's our friend now. That's basically what that
yeah, it
was
like, hey, look, they go to school. That's what that episode was.
Yeah. They go to school and we find out Luke's dad is gay. And he's been living a lie. But yeah, Chris McCull, this is when we learn about Chris McCull.
That episode's fine.
Oh, yeah, this episode's like, meh. Marissa, like, drinks and Ryan's mad at her, and, yeah.
You're scaring me. Good. You're scaring me.
You're scaring me. Yeah, that was aggressive when he's just, like, slamming the door, like, on her while she's in the passenger seat.
I get
I'm
it.
Like, bro.
No, I get it. Like, and then, drinking alone in a bathroom, like, pfft, yeah, loser.
When you're 15, yikes. And then, yeah, the New Year's Eve.
New Year's Eve.
We're at Oliver's
penthouse. You're so annoying. It's not his penthouse. We learned that.
Or is his parents, whatever.
No, was like, Anna was like, I'm friends with the guy who put this on. And they're like, oh, you know Oliver? And she's like, who? So I'm like, oh, so he's a I'm under the impression he's a compulsive liar and that wasn't his party. Am I wrong? Don't tell him how it goes.
I mean, it is his penthouse and party.
Then what was Anna saying?
I don't know. I think it is meant to be like set up that he's kind of shady, but we return to this location.
Okay. So, okay.
Yeah. But maybe he's just being deceitful in other ways. But yeah. Okay. I think I liked the quick ep rundown. The big moment rundown. Okay. So, do we want to get into your predictions first? Let's get into your prediction. I am going to play just the clip of your predictions from the last episode because they're pretty stream of conscious. So, I couldn't type them all out because it was like you were doing a lot of impressions of people. So, I'm just going to like play and pause and we can check and see if you were right or wrong. So, let's begin. I'm going to count myself down so I can sync up the audio later. 3, 2, 1, click.
Bad boy Ryan. I don't want to fucking be here. I don't even want to be here. I don't even want to be here. And then Seth's like, hey, man, actually, I think we could be really good friends. I'm nervous and neurotic.
Nailed it.
Got it. Okay.
And then Summer's going to be like, ew, he's gross and poor. I don't want to be around him. He's poor.
Nailed it.
And then she gets kind of into Seth. And then she's like, okay, I could be around him. But like, Seth, you're my fucking lapdog, all right? You're my slave. You're going to do everything that I want.
You kind of got that. Like got that it. Gambling episode.
Ryan wasn't really like, I don't want to be here. He was just like, actually, yeah, he kind of was. He's like, I don't belong.
It's more like, it's not that he didn't want to be there. I think he was just like, I'm such a burden. I shouldn't be here. I think it was a little bit more of that.
Yeah, you're right.
And I guess Summer initially liked Ryan, but then
she found out that it wasn't Seth's cousin. And as soon as she found out he was poor, she was like, ew,
but then
he's poor.
she still thought he was hot in the Cotillion episode too, though, and was like, he should be my date. And Marissa's like, no, bitch.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Okay.
And he's going to be like, yeah, no, totally. I'm going to do that because you're hot as shit. And then Marissa's going to be like, ooh, fucking Ryan, this like fucking bull cut bad boy who looks like an American studio exec tried to make an American Harry Potter.
You're judging him by season 2 hair.
It's like, I like him. I want him. Because I like danger, and I need to get out of this town. I don't like this town.
Nailed it.
Kinda, yeah.
I'm so not like these other people. And then her mom's going to be like, he's poor. You can't be with him, okay?
Nailed it.
I don't want you to be with him. And then so that makes her want to be with him even more. And
kinda.
They have their highs. They have their lows. I think they like camp out in a mall.
It hasn't happened yet, but I think it happens.
But then that brings drama because there's another guy. I know there's another guy, and he's like a total dick.
Yeah, at first.
I might have been thinking of Oliver.
Huh?
I think I might have been thinking of Oliver. I remember. I feel like I remember like what's about to happen more than I remember what just happened in terms of season one. I don't know if I'm right about that or not, but for some reason, I really feel like I remember there being like a camp out in a mall.
Halfway through predictions, I think there's already going to be a breakup. And then by the end of the season, whoever breaks up is going to get back together.
Seth and Summer.
And then the other couple that was together the whole season is going to break up at the end of the first
Ryan
season.
Ryan and Marissa.
And then it's going to be just like a a big ass will they, won't they all season two, because you're like, we just want them to be back together.
Okay, you're getting ahead of yourself.
I know, but I'm just explaining.
Gotcha.
I think at first, you know, it's going to be like the dog that the family didn't want, where like Sandy's going to bring him home and the wife's going to be like, what are you doing? Yeah. We can't do this. Is this going to be good for Seth? And then he's going to be like, I just had to do it because he's poor and, you know, needs to not be poor. And I'm a good guy. And then she's going to end up loving him because he's such a good guy, even though he's poor.
And really focused on the poor.
That's pretty much all I can think of right now. Is so much of it's going to be like, oh my God, he's from Chino.
So those are your predictions.
I was pretty close.
You were pretty spot on.
I think I was pretty close. There were a couple things that, like, you know, the breakup thing. I definitely thought that, like, both couples were going to be, like, in full force by mid-season. And I completely forgot about Anna.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah, that's true. You forgot about Anna. Yeah, not a lot about the parents, but, like, that's fine. They're, like, B-team anyway. Yeah. You got a lot of that right. So now we're going to get to what I think my favorite segment is going to be, which is called The Bait Shop, which is going an audio quiz involving the iconic music that scores some of the most iconic moments in the show. I'm going to play a song clip, and you're going to have to tell me at which moment it was playing in the show. It is multiple choice, don't worry. Also, I need to shout out to the ocmusic.co.uk. I have been using that very heavily to construct these quizzes. So, shout out to you. The website looks like it was made in 2006, if not earlier. But I love it. It's great. Okay, so, first song. So, is this Ryan and Marissa's first meeting in front of their houses? B, when Ryan and Marissa share their first kiss on the Ferris wheel? Or C, when Ryan and Marissa dance at the model home immediately before it burns down?
Okay, I'm pretty sure it's not C. I feel like that was Hallelujah by Jeff Buckley. I think I'm going to go with B.
Correct.
Yes.
We did it.
Nice.
Okay. Well, next song.
Next. Is it Hallelujah? Oh, yeah. It's A. When Marissa and Ryan share a tense moment at the model home immediately before it burns down.
Yeah, my other options were when Ryan finds Marissa in the alleyway in Tijuana and carries her out, or when Luke breaks down about his dad being gay immediately before getting pummeled by the rivals.
Oh my God, this song was the one where he's breaking down about his dad being gay. It would have been so funny. Because it's just such a, like, intimate song. You know, like the Jeff Buckley version. It's like, oh, so are Luke and Ryan about to make out then if this song was playing?
Okay.
Next.
We have Dice. Is this when Ryan and Marissa first meet in front of their houses, when Ryan makes it in time to kiss Marissa on New Year's Eve, or when Seth and Summer share their first kiss?
I think it's B, when Ryan makes it in time to kiss Marissa on New Year's.
Correct.
Because I did just listen to that. Or watch that episode. That's true.
And you've watched it twice now.
And I watched it twice, yeah.
Okay. 4. We have We Used to Be Friends by the Dandy Warhols. Is this when Seth runs into Summer and Anna together after banding together against him in the girls' room? When Seth tries to stay home sick to avoid his love triangle at school? When Summer and Anna bond during class while studying for science, King Philip comes up with great sex, or D, all of the above?
I'm going to say D.
Correct. Okay. That was kind of a gimme.
Yeah, that was kind of a gimme. Because I was like, wait, that all happens the same episode, so it's got to be a montage.
It's just like, it's like a song they just keep bringing back. They do that every so often. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then we have Into Dust by Mazzy Star. Is this...
I can't hear it.
You can't hear it at all?
Oh, I know this song. Yeah.
So, when Ryan discovers his empty house and that his mom has abandoned him. B, when Marissa spikes her drink in the bathroom at the Christmas party. Or C, when Ryan finds Marissa in the alleyway in Tijuana and carries her out.
I could have sworn they used this song multiple times in the show.
They did.
Okay. Then I'm gonna say... I feel like it's not C, but I don't know why it... I'm just gonna go for my gut and just A.
No, it is C. It is C. When Ryan finds Marissa in the alleyway. This is kind of Marissa's, like... drama song a little bit. Okay. I think they bring it back a couple times.
They do bring it back. Okay, because I was really between A and C, but I feel like the song I'm remembering of the TJ episode is when they're looking for her, and it's a much more like chaotic song. But damn it yeah. was C. God damn it.
So you got 4 out of 5, which I think is pretty good, honestly. But we'll see how we do in the next one.
I remember there were even some moments where I was like, remember this song. And I think most of them were not the songs you chose. Like, I was remembering, like, trying to remember the song when, like, Marissa and Luke have sex.
Should I make it harder?
No. I was just like, I don't know. It's iconic. Stick with the icons, I guess.
Totally. Well, now... we can get into predictions for the second half of the season.
Yes.
So do you want to do stream of consciousness again? Like, go for it.
Yeah, I'll just try to go for, like, the main characters, how I think it's going to end up. I still think that, you know, Ryan and Marissa are an event. Like, I think Oliver's going to get in the way. And I don't think it's going to be an actual, like, cheating switch over to him type thing. I'm just going to think it's, like... it's a close call, and it's going to lead to, like, them splitting up. They've been so tumultuous since, like, I don't see them just, like, sticking it out. Unless there is a maybe, like, end of the season they get back together. But otherwise, like, I think they're, even if temporarily, going to break up again. And I think Oliver's going to have a big part in that. I think Seth is going to crash and burn with Anna, and then Summer's going to have her redeeming moment, and they're going to, like... maybe that's how the season ends, with them kissing. I think the Julie Cooper, Caleb Nichols thing is really going to interfere with Sandy and Kirsten a lot more, to where maybe they actually have, like, real, you know, turmoil in their relationship together. Because so far they've been pretty solid. Like, none of their problems have lasted more than an episode. Mm-hmm. Unlike...
you mean you Ryan weren't worried about them at the swingers party?
Yeah, no. Whereas, like, I swear, Ryan and Marissa, they've never... I don't know if there's a single episode where they started and ended in the same spot. Whether it be, like, they started not great, ended not great, or started great, ended great. It's always one than the other. Every episode, it's the other way around. Yeah. Like, every single one. Where I'm like, just give it a break for one episode. But I think that's going to actually kind of happen with, like, Sandy and Kirsten because of Caleb and or Julie. And was that it? I think that was it. I can't think of any, like, plot points because they go so fucking off the wall that, like, I can only think of, like, general beats. I can't think of, like,
what are you, like, anything with Haley? Why do you think she's here?
Sorry for that noise, by the way. Oh, man. Maybe she causes, I mean, is she going to try and fuck Ryan? That was kind of like weirdly implied. Like, it was just like, I'm in my underwear and I'm in your wife beater. I'm like, gross. I literally, as soon as I saw that, I was like, are we going to have another predator try to fuck Ryan? She won't leave or something? Like, and just caught, like, no, I have nothing for Haley.
Okay. You don't have to.
She was barely introduced.
I know. I just know she was part of, she was in, like, the most recent episode, so.
Maybe she's going to hook up with Jimmy Cooper. I don't know.
Any other predictions for Jimmy?
No, I don't care.
Okay. All right. I think we can stop there for predictions.
I just want to watch. I'm going to watch it. Like, literally, I'm about to hang up and just, like, make food and watch.
I'm excited. Okay, so that wraps us up. Next episode will be a little more we're feeling it out. We're trying to, like, find the format that works. I think it went okay.
Yeah, bear with us, guys. Bear with us for now. Like, as we... This was the time to work out the kinks.
Totally. So, yeah. So, that was our first step of the Bro C. I think it'll be a little bit more structured going forward, but hopefully you enjoyed our first ep. We're still trying to figure out. It's hard to talk about, like, 14 episodes at one time. So, I think
that
going for the big moments and kind of, like...
Honing in
on those is what's going to help. And I also think it's the first half of the very first season. We're still kind of ramping up to drama. Like, we're not at our most ridiculous, like, by far yet. So we're still, like, setting the scene. We're still, like, establishing everything. And I will say...
Yeah, we're still in the good season of the show.
So we're... The second half, I think, gets more exciting. But I'll let you be the judge of that. So that's all that we have for you today. Again, these episodes come out kind of whenever we want them to. Although, honestly, maybe they'll come out faster than we think because Gray wants to zoom through the show.
I can't stop watching it.
So you might get all of these pretty close together. We'll see. But that's all for today. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.
Bye.